now, joined by my pal Mike Sielski for 3 hours of radio magic on a weekend where the Eagles get to kick back and watch it all.
Kind of like me, Glenn. I get to kick back and watch it all weekend, too. Looking forward to it.
That is what we're going to do. Two things to start the show. One is, as we just said, the Eagles and this weekend's football, particularly the grudge, the hate match, Saturday night, which is good. I called it measles mumps. You say it is?
Oh, Monday night, you mean.
What did I say?
You said Saturday.
I'm sorry. Monday night.
Yeah.
Wait for that one. Yes.
Iran, Iraq.
Yes. Cowboys versus the Bucks. Anyway, we'll get to that in a little bit. Eagles get the week off. Mike, they earned it. Who would have dreamt of 13-4 back in September?
I wouldn't have dreamt of 14-3 either.
Oh, man. You know what?
It's good. It's all good.
I got to stop taking that Ambien. Okay. Who dreamed that we'd be talking about Jalen Hurts for MVP or Nick as coach of the year or Howie as executive of the year? Again, we'll get to the details of that later. So we watch tonight, tomorrow, Monday, and we learn who they play. The longest of the long shots is the game play today. If Seattle can upset the 49ers, 9.5-point underdogs, they will come across the country to play the Eagles next week. Chance of that happening, a scale 1 to 100?
2.
Okay. That's about right.
Yeah. I don't see that at all.
No, I don't either. More likely than that is a game that is going to be played between the Giants and the Minnesota Vikings. I thought, you know, the Giants could win, and then I realized that's the chic pick. Everybody says the Giants can win. Can the Giants win?
The Giants can win. I'm not sure that the Giants will win. I think that's a coin flip game, but I think you're onto something there, Glenn. It's become the thing to say that, well, the Giants are probably going to beat the Vikings. And there's reason to say that. The Vikings have won a whole bunch of games this season by the skin of their teeth, or, you know, opponents like the Indianapolis Colts completely melted down.
Negative point differential on the season for a team that they are 13-4, right?
Yes, yes.
Holy cow.
That's pretty remarkable. But maybe there's something intangible to be said about their character and all of that kind of stuff. That, to me, is the most interesting game of the weekend, in a way, because I think the outcome is the least predictable.
And we root for the Giants.
Yeah, I think so.
Right?
Yeah, better matchup for the Eagles.
Giants.
Always good to have Eagles-Giants in the playoffs.
All right, so I will tell you, Mike, in talking to people this week, getting around town, there's a bit of fear in the Delaware Valley. There's some trepidation. There is a wariness that even as the Eagles landed that coveted one seed, that first round bye, home field throughout, which is huge, that the team may have peaked in November and could be headed for a crushing crash landing. Mike, how you feel?
I feel more optimistic than that. I completely perceive the fear and apprehension that you're talking about. Totally pick up on that. But I don't share it. I think they are, as you laid out a minute ago, they're in the best possible position they can be in this playoff setup. They have home field advantage. They're the best team in the conference. They were the best team in the conference for virtually the entire season. And the dynamic, Glenn, that's interesting to me about this is that I didn't sense this same apprehension back in 2018 when they made their Super Bowl run.
Yeah.
And you and I before the show...
And we're the one seed.
Yeah, and we're the one seed, and we're an underdog against the Falcons in that first playoff game, the divisional round game. And you and I were kicking around before the show why that is. And I think it's kind of counterintuitive. It's the fact that Jalen Hurts is playing, that Lane Johnson is coming back. There's something about that that makes Eagles fans a little uncomfortable because everything is kind of lined up. When your backup quarterback has to take you there, like in 2018, that's a more comfortable way for a fan around here to look at it. Like, hey, we got nothing to lose.
Nothing to lose is what I was going to say. Right.
Yeah,
nothing to lose.
Yep.
And you know what? The whole underdog thing with the masks, which I believe was Chris Long and Lane Johnson who started that, right?
It was, yes.
that whole thing kind of started a fan togetherness belief and so on, which is the nobody likes us, nobody believes in us, we don't care. And teams have played the nobody believes in us, they're all against us forever, mm-hmm. often ridiculously. You know, Georgia played that?
Yeah. It's kind of laughable.
What is that, 63-7? They played that nobody believed in us.
4,000-7, yeah.
Nobody believed in us. But the Eagles were able to play it then, and the fan base was. And I think people went into that with like, nothing to lose. Hey, if we win, it's great. This time, the expectations are, you're the best team. Mm-hmm. For a long time, people regarded the Eagles as the best team in the league. Now it's probably Kansas City or Buffalo, but best team in the NFC, best record, bye week, home, all that, expectations. Makes people a little nervous.
It does. I think that's part of the reason that people wrap their arms around the 2022 Phillies during that playoff run as much as they did. It wasn't that just that the Phillies got to the World Series. It's that they were the last wild card team. They were good enough to make that kind of run, but nobody really expected them to make that kind of run. So, as you said, there's nothing to lose. We can throw our hearts to them, and if they get beaten by the Braves in the divisional round, okay, well, we made it for the first time in 11 years.
So we are going to have on the show later today two great guests, okay? We're going to have your colleague, Jeff McClain of the Philadelphia Inquirer, who mm-hmm. is a terrific reporter covering the beat the way beats ought to be covered. Looking forward to talking to him. And we're going to have my pal and yours, Ray Dinger. And I heard Ray, I want to make sure I heard Ray correctly, because I believe I heard Ray Dinger say, if they don't win the Super Bowl, this season is not a success. It's a failure. And we can get into that with him. I don't want to get into that too deep with you right now. But the whole point is, now the expectation is you got to win the whole thing or...
Yeah.
And that I think, has got people nervous.
I think it has. I think this is the kind of position that Philadelphia sports fans, on the one hand, they relish the ride. That's what most fans, I think, want from a team is the ride. The week to week, night to night, feeling that your team is winning and it's great and it's bringing everybody together and yes, we might win a championship. And then you get to the moment at hand and it's like, oh my gosh, what's going to go wrong? Is Chris Carpenter going to throw a shutout? Is Rondé Barber going to, you know, intercept the pass and return it for a touchdown?
What are you doing?
What's going to go wrong? I can keep going, Glenn. There have been so many.
Yes, I know. I've written several books on that stuff, and it keeps me up at night at various times. That's okay. We've all lived through all that. Yes. On a scale of 1 to 10, your level of confidence right now?
6.57.
Okay.
Yeah, I think they're going to go to... I think that's pretty...
6.5-7 or 6.57?
Now I have to do math. Where's my 11-year-old son who's taking algebra?
Nobody told me there was
no, I'm fairly confident.
All right, 6.5-7.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm about the same. I was going to say a 7. I'm feeling pretty good. And part of the reason I'm feeling pretty good is... yesterday, Lane Johnson back at practice, saying he's going to play, working with the team a little bit. We all know the numbers. They are 10-22 in their history without Lane Johnson. That even includes the win over the Giants. He has, and we'll talk to our Cooper doctor later, but he says his recovery has been pretty good, that he's going to be able to play. It is not so bad. He released a video of him hoisting the WWE belt. When Lane Johnson's getting cocky, I'm feeling good.
You know, I have this picture of Lane on the sidelines during the divisional round game next week. If you remember the opening of Dances with Wolves, where Kevin Costner's trying to get the boot on his foot, and he's got the gangrene, and he's biting.
Oh, gosh, yes.
He's biting the piece of wood.
Yes.
I kind of see Lane looking
putting
that
on his
way.
Uniform
yeah,
next week?
Yeah, exactly. But he will be out there. I mean, that guy... the one thing you can say about Lane Johnson, apart from him being just a terrific player, is that he will do everything he can to get out there, and he is honest about how he feels and what he's going through, whether you're talking about mental health issues or the physical things that he's dealt with, concussions, other injuries.
Love him. By the way, made the All-Pro team yesterday, first-string All-Pro.
Well-deserved.
Oh, absolutely well-deserved, along with Kelsey was a first-stringer, and I feel like I'm leaving out one other.
Was Darius Slay first-stringer?
No, Darius Slay was neither first or second-stringer. James Bradberry
was, by the way.
James Bradberry made a good bet on himself this year.
Sure did.
1 year contract with the Eagles, becomes a free agent, come off this year. He's going to do really well.
Yeah, not necessarily here. but no. You know, he'll do all right for himself.
Yeah, and by then Jalen Hurts, the second string all pro to Mahomes, as you would expect. And
yeah, absolutely.
Pretty good to be a second string all pro at this point. Speaking of which, Jalen Hurts is the other thing we really have to think about this game. It has been discussed ad nauseum, and yet it is the big thing. To me, I mentioned Lane Johnson. The other thing, will Jalen Hurts be able to play his game fully and without restriction, without a governor? And I don't mean Josh Shapiro. I mean by that the attachment to your car's engine that automatically limits speed.
Yeah.
Now, we know he heals faster than Mike Sielski.
He does a lot of things faster than Mike Sielski, as Nick Sirianni has established, yes.
I love the way you became part of that story by asking a question.
Do you know what happened the next day?
No. Jalen challenged you to a race?
No, the next day. I wasn't there the next day, and the Eagles went out to practice, and Hurts was there throwing the ball around and doing the calisthenics, and Nick went around to the writers and said, "Where's Mike? See, there's Jalen. Where is he?" So, okay. You know.
Good work by you.
Yeah.
That's that lesson. Tell you this bad
job. It's all in good fun.
So he threw yesterday. He did not throw the day before. He didn't throw for 9 days. He said he didn't throw for 2 weeks before that Giants game. I really don't know how to read it. And I heard Howard say, remain calm, all is well. And maybe that's true. I'm certainly not going to panic about it. We watched him against the Giants and what he did do and didn't do. What's your thoughts on where he is and expectations?
So I have two thoughts. The first is one that you and I have talked about before on the show, which is that I do think there is an element with Hurts in which he wants to present himself as a different kind of quarterback, like a step above his peers, a different breed, so that he likes, to a certain extent, the idea that he's playing through pain. I think he likes having that out there. I don't think he's going to be somebody who is going to de-emphasize the injury. I think he's going to tell you, I'm playing through pain and it hurts.
Yeah, they're all letting you know.
And everybody's letting us know that. So that's the first thing. The second thing is, I'm less worried, and I think the Eagles and Hurts are less worried about him throwing the ball than they are about him, as you said, carrying it, running with it, taking a hit on that shoulder, landing on the Lincoln Financial Field ground and turf. That, to me, is the bigger danger. I know there was a lot of discussion on the station this week about having Hurts, the coaches having Hurts throw 9 passes in the first 9 plays. I don't think that's as much an issue with respect to Hurts' health. You can have issues with respect to, is that the best way the Eagles ought to be running their offense in general? But in terms of, like, Hurts is injured, he shouldn't be throwing the ball, I don't think that's an issue. I think the bigger issue is he carrying the ball and is he taking hits?
Yeah. I agree. I think he's going to, because there was like, why did he come out the last game and throw 9 passes? Because he can throw.
Right.
I don't think that's the problem.
Yeah. When push comes to shove, if they're in a close game, I think the question becomes, okay, do they have Hurts carry the ball? You know, it's 3rd and 5. Do we run a read option and could he possibly keep it?
And clearly that will just depend on score and circumstance. But if they are in a close game and they got to win this game, he'll do it.
Oh,
he's
absolutely.
He's not going to shy away from it, and they will do it because you and I have talked about this before. Protecting Jalen Hurts' health and future is a good priority, but you know what's a bigger priority? Winning the Super Bowl this year.
Yep.
And if they have the opportunity to do it and their quarterback gets injured in the process, they will still do it. This is the NFL. This is about winning the games. It is not about prolonging players' careers. I hate to sound that flippant about a guy's future, but that is the way it works.
That's it. The idea that the Eagles have an open window for several years because Jalen Hurts is 24 is the wrong way to think about it. They are going for it right now.
Yeah.
And I agree with you completely.
Because I don't think James Bradbury is going to be back next year. And maybe a few other guys.
And he ain't going to be the only one who ain't back next year.
They got to do it. The only other injury I want to talk about, by the way, 215-592-9494. We'd love to talk to you about it today. The Avonte Maddox injury, and he is not coming back anytime soon, and I would not anticipate he would be coming back even if they get to the Super Bowl. And that's the one they've missed maybe more than we all realize. That slot corner, he does it so well. The way they play defense, they only rush 4. The guys in the secondary have to be in the right place, and it's the backups haven't been able to do it. It's why the other team is completing 13 passes in a row. And you know, people can rant and rave about the defense Gannon plays, but he's almost doing it so as not to expose those guys filling in to disaster.
Yeah.
And that's the one I'm a little nervous about.
Yeah, I am too. And the fear I would have heading into the divisional round and perhaps the NFC Championship game is that you're going to face at least once a quarterback smart enough to exploit that. You know, Dak Prescott, for instance, has had not a particularly great season, leads the NFL in interceptions and interception percentage, but he is the guy who took advantage of the fact that Maddox got hurt on Christmas Eve and completes whatever it was, 24 out of 24 against a zone defense where the Eagles' defensive backs don't really know where to go because Maddox isn't there. That would concern me throughout this playoff run, is are they going to encounter the kind of quarterback, and Prescott is that kind of guy, Brady in theory would be that kind of guy who can take advantage of the fact that Maddox isn't out there.
Well, here's how it works then. In the end, by the way, I feel pretty good, okay? They got 2 weeks. Everybody's got 2 weeks to heal. I don't think Maddox is going to be back. Nick is a creative coach. I think he's going to find new wrinkles. I think any team that has to pass through here, what this crowd can do, I'm hearing how phenomenal Brock Purdy is. Oh, my God, Mr. Irrelevant, the greatest thing. I want to see Brock Purdy play in a pressure pack game in front of 68,000 Eagle fans. That's going to be a little different than what he's done.
Yeah, look, if the 49ers end up making a run and making the Super Bowl, however they get there, it's not going to be because of Brock Purdy. It's just not.
Right, but he's going to have to do things if he comes here, and I think it's going to be tough. I think that, and we'll discuss the other teams more, but I like it all. And I'll close with this. People said all year, who have the Eagles beat? Who's any good that the Eagles beat, right? And per Denny Selsman, who's a great follow on Twitter, I don't know if you follow him.
I do
not. He's great with charts and graphics and so on, and he put the record, DenizSelman. I'm not sure if that's his full Twitter handle, but he's really a good follow when it comes to this. This is the record versus teams with winning records in the NFL. Eagles are 7-1 against teams with winning records.
That's pretty darn good.
It's the best in the league.
There you go.
San Francisco was 4-1.
Okay.
Dallas was 6-2. Minnesota 4-3. Kansas City 5-2. Buffalo 5-2. Cincinnati 4-3. So who's got the best record in the league against winning teams?
The Eagles.
I feel good about that.
Yeah, and they were in one of the stronger, if not the strongest, division in the NFL this season.
Right.
And look, we started talking about apprehension. That's where we began the show. And this is the NFL playoffs. That's part of the deal. You know, most playoff games don't end 45-10. So people are going to have to get accustomed to the fact that these are going to be close games. I just looked at the numbers from last year's playoffs, Glenn. The six divisional round games, the round that the Eagles aren't playing in this year, only two of them were one-score games. Four of them were at least two scores.
Yeah.
Okay?
You're going to have some of that this weekend.
Exactly. Every game after that, the four divisional round games, the two conference championship games, and the Super Bowl were all one-score games.
Yeah.
This is a grind. It comes with the territory.
I think that's nicely said. All right, one other thing that we need to throw in here at the top, and again, we'll take your calls. Mitchell Wimbledon, you'll be up first. Just hang in a minute. You and I had a stupid bet that we made at the start of the year, and the stupid bet basically centered on the Eagles' return game. You bet that it wouldn't be that good. Mm-hmm. I bet on faith that it would be perfectly fine. You, for a long time, had the edge. You're up 6-1.
I was.
At one point, and yet, then it tied at 6-6, and then you got one. 2 weeks ago when the Eagles could not return a kickoff to their 20.
Against the Saints, yes.
Put you up 7-6. Mike Sielski's looking at the dinner menu at Ralph's, starting to plan things out.
And then I brought in Mitch Williams in the bottom of the ninth.
And here we go. It was 3 minutes into the second quarter against the Giants. Jamie Gillen back to punt.
The punt is almost blocked. It's a wobbler. Covey looks up. Covey takes it, makes the first man miss. He is running hard across the left sideline. 40, 45, 50 in the Giants territory. Britton Covey. Now there's a penalty flag all the way back near the line of scrimmage. Let's see about this. Let's see. It was a 46-yard punt and a 17-yard return.
Holding number 21 of the kicking team. That 10-yard penalty will be added to the end of the play.
Will be added to the play. It was against the Giants.
And there you go. You know what's funny is I saw the punt return. Well, I wouldn't have got it otherwise, but and when I saw the penalty, I thought, oh, please, please, please. And I got it. We are tied at 7-7.
We are.
The season's over. What are we going to do?
Not. No, it's not.
Kyle Quinn's already got dinner. He's in, right?
We are going to keep going. This is not going to be sudden death. It's not whoever, you know, the Eagles return a punt well, you win, or they don't return a kickoff well, I win. We are going to play this.
Take it through.
Yeah, take it through the Super Bowl if we have to.
Sounds good to me. All right, a couple things we want to plug, a couple events. You got something coming up at the Free Library.
I do. Thursday afternoon, January 19th, from 1 o'clock to 2 o'clock, I'm going to be at the Philadelphia Free Library hosting a Q&A with someone you all may have heard of, Stephen A. Smith.
That's great.
Whose new memoir is coming out. So I'm going to talk to Stephen about that. It gets into his upbringing and his time at ESPN, a little bit in his time with the Inquirer in Philly.
Yeah, nice.
And
you won't have to do much talking.
I promise you it will not be specious, egregious, or ridiculous.
I love Stephen, actually. Stephen's a very nice guy.
He is.
Good for you. All right, so you have that. That's what, Thursday?
Thursday at 1 o'clock.
Well, Thursday evening from 6:30 to 9, I am hosting a release party for, get this right, Mike and Merrill, Philly Special Hazy IPA. Ooh. At Conchalk and Brewing, we made the Merrill and Mike, which is a real high-octane one. We're coming out with the Mike and Merrill Hazy, which is a 6.5, more crushable tailgate beer.
That's right in my wheelhouse.
Party's going to be at Puddler's Kitchen and Tap by Conchalk and Brewing in Bridgeport. The Eagles Pep Band is going to play.
Nice.
Ray Dinger's going to come sign and sell books. I am going to host a Quizzo-like trivia contest.
Is Ray allowed to participate in that contest?
Oh, somebody ought to get Ray on their team. They would do really well. Great prizes, lots of beer. Come out and celebrate a great season Thursday night from 6:30 to 9 at Puddler's Kitchen and Tap. All right, we'll mention those more before we get off, but we want to talk to you. 215-592-9494. Mike Sielski, Glenn Macnow, Saturday on 94 WIP.